Aloha and welcome to Connection to the Cosmos with your host, me, Dr. Lisa Thompson, where I have out-of-this-world conversations with extraordinary people. And today I have on Giulio Consiglio, and I'm looking forward to this conversation. But first, just a couple of announcements. If you have not had the opportunity to grab my free 20-minute meditative journey to meet your galactic family and guides, make sure you grab that on my website, mysticmanta.com or drlisajthompson.com. Also, if you're coming to Hawaii, specifically the Big Island, come on one of my UFO tours where you will see the night sky in a whole new way using the Advanced Generation 3 military night vision goggles. For more information on that, bigislandufotours.com. And if you want to do a deep dive exploration into your galactic side and really connecting with them, then come to my galactic retreat here again in Hawaii, October 2nd to the 6th. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on Giulio. Hello, Giulio.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm doing great. Well, let me share with the audience your bio. And your bio doesn't really cover everything we're going to talk about. So we'll surprise the audience.
Sure.
Okay. Following several personal adversities, Giulio Consiglio, while in his early 30s, experienced an unfathomable and life-altering spiritual transformation that resulted in the transcendence of the conditioned mind. His writings and teachings focus on the transformative power of inner stillness, psychic abilities development, and the mind-body-spirit connection. He is the author of Challenge Your Thoughts, The Healing Frequency, Open Your Third Eye, Cosmic Contact, Finding Your Calm, and his next book, Your Inner Healer, releases early 2025. It's a lot of books there, Giulio.
There is, and I have more to write, I guess.
Okay. Well, so before we get into how, you know, all of the books and all the things, I would love for you to share with us, like, how you kind of grew up, spiritual, religious, something else, so we know your journey in getting into this work.
Sure. So I grew up Roman Catholic, but I was more spiritual, I would say, than anything. When I look back, my grandmother was a testament of like faith and having that faith in God or Source. So I always knew that God or Source existed. But early on, I realized that from a spiritual vantage point, religion was more theory than anything. So I didn't get really caught up in that, but I would say more spiritual than anything else.
Okay. Well, so then where was it along your journey that you kind of got into the more like psychic kind of work that you do?
So adversity serves a great purpose in personal transformation. So by the age of 19, I was experiencing real heaviness coming from the ego. I was sensitive to my energies and the energies around me. And I remember saying to my family doctor, "Doc, I don't understand. I have more courage in my pinky than all my friends combined. I don't know why I feel this way." So he sort of pegged it as anxiety. Years went on and I continued to essentially suffer in silence. Whenever I experienced the negativity of the ego, it was a great contrast to the inner stillness that was already within me that I hadn't fully recognized yet. Mm-hmm. So there were a lot of personal adversities over the years. And then finally, what I would call at the height of pain, I surrendered and experienced what they call a third eye activation in between patients during a cancellation in my car on a side street.
Okay. Can you explain that more?
Absolutely. So I had been reading a book by Dr. Daniel Amen, of all names, and I didn't get past page 60 or 62, and there was one phrase that went along the lines, "When you allow negative thoughts to go unchallenged." Well, that struck me, and I was reaching a point in my life where I really wanted answers, and I was coming to a point to say it was a burning desire to experience another way. That's an understatement. So the book was on my passenger seat of my car. And on this particular day, November 7th, 2005, I had a patient cancel. So I did what I normally do, jump in my car, drive a few blocks and just relax. The dental office, with a lot of patients experiencing a lot of fear, you experience a lot of heaviness. So a lot of times I would actually be in my stillness and not realize it and experience nothing. It was just perfect calmness. But on this particular day, the day was a heavy day. So as the patient canceled, I jumped in my car. And when I began to reflect on that statement, not a male or female voice audibly came up through my chest and said, "Challenge your thoughts." In that instant, the space between my eyebrows began to vibrate. I don't want to say violently, but it got my attention. And it began to automatically shut down the negativity that I'd been experiencing since 19. I remember turning my head and looking at a building and experiencing profound clarity. Believe it or not, I still had a patient to get back to. So I get back to work. I now have this activated force going off. It's doing it for me. I'm driving home. It's a really bad rainstorm. And feeling sort of spent and coming into a space of surrender, I jumped on the couch and said, "Just let me die." And in that instant, I popped out. And when I say I popped out, my awareness left my body. And when I came back, I had an incredible lightness and I completely understood what had happened. Within a few weeks, I began to experience automatic writing. Within a month's time, my first talk on consciousness and stillness. And by Christmas, I had written my first book over a 7-day period, Challenge Your Thoughts.
Wow. Okay. Well, and so that was back in 2005?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I was 33.
Okay. Well, so, I mean, that must have been quite an experience. So you're a dentist then? That's
dental, dental hygienist and educator I was.
Okay. So, you know, being in that world and then just having, like, having your third eye just wide open now. So then how did you return to the normal world?
That's a great question. I actually said to my sisters, I actually had an older brother, but he had passed in 96. But I said to my sisters, I'm ready to just live on a park bench. I'm not attached to any of this. And I was ready to quit everything and just go literally live in a cave. And I had a download say that sacrifice is not necessary. But even that, I did not see it as a sacrifice. So I slowly began to cut away some of my clinical and theory. My employers were not happy with that. And I just backed off until the writing took over and the speaking engagements. So it was essentially a smooth transition, and it unfolded the way it was supposed to.
Okay. Well, and how was your family with this?
You know, what's interesting. My one brother-in-law, when I started to describe what was taking place, because I experienced about 32 days of mystical events following that. Mm-hmm. And my brother-in-law had been listening to some Wayne Dyer, and he said, "I think you had an awakening." I said, "That's what it sounds like." The interesting thing is, as far back as I can remember, so as a child working in my dad's hardware store, my mind has always been silent. I just wasn't aware of that silence fully. And I remember even months coming up to the shift, there'd be moments where suddenly I'd pause and become aware of the awareness, but wouldn't make nothing really of it. What I've realized is that desire, you know, when it's really white hot, that is one of the catalysts for really stepping into that quantum or unified field, like essentially constantly, permanently.
I love that. Yes, the desire. So tell us more about that, because I think the audience really needs to understand that.
Absolutely. So the thing about desire, the first thing is when we look at that word desire, when you translate it, it literally means from the Father. So the desires that we have for our life are inspired from the highest self. So the suffering that I experienced, and I could try to compress it within a minute, years of intense anxiety, watching my brother pass away from cancer, marrying my high school sweetheart, only to have that crumble 15 months later. I was given a cancer diagnosis within a year after that marriage falling apart. But it was actually my experience with a night terror that was the final catalyst. And the interesting thing was, it wasn't that I was afraid what was happening, but I had a question on how something, and I was wide awake, how something could pull sheets off my bed in the middle of the night. So it was that morning where I cried out and said, "Show me another way or take me out, because I've had my fill with not understanding why things happen the way they do." And 2 weeks later, I got my answers.
Okay. Well, and I think asking for that help is really important, right? Because a lot of people don't ask for the help. And I have quite a few friends that say, like, you know, help me do something because I really need it. And when they ask, things are given to them. They are brought people, they're brought books, they're brought situations that really help them.
So, what I would add to that as well, and when I reflect on it, this is really important. And I'm not going to even say I asked, I essentially demanded. I demanded another way. I let go completely. And don't ask me why or how I did it. I remember after saying it once, I let go. And what up my sense is, I literally shifted quickly to a state where I could now come into that peace and that knowingness. So, you know, setting your intentions and then letting go of how and when it's going to manifest in your life. But, you know, especially with the UFO activity I experienced back here, objects responding to me, powering up, they just confirmed that there's no distance through that dimension of inner stillness, or because we're all one.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so we just switched gears there. We had UFOs, but we were going to, because that was one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on as well. I mean, like, everything that we talk about or that we've talked about so far are typical conversations with my guests. So my audience is used to that. But, you know, this, I am a galactic ambassador and channeler, and I love all things UFOs, UAPs, ETs. So tell me how that started for you, these contact experiences.
Absolutely. So I had just moved into a 4-row unit townhouse, and I had actually spent the last several months when I had moved in here, late 2019, early 2020, editing Open Your Third Eye. So I didn't really spend much time out there. My neighbors, Matt and James especially, would be out there often. So this one particular evening, October 8th, 2020, I finally came out, hung out with the guys, and it was dusk, about 6:43 6:43 p.m., when a hula hoop-shaped object caught my attention, and I recorded it. I actually let out an expletive, and it was about 10, 12 feet in diameter, no form of propulsion. And the interesting thing is, real quick, is I had a friend out in Kansas who experiences phenomena as well. Mm-hmm. She's actually recorded a very similar circular hula hoop shaped object. So I pointed it out to the guys and we watched it move across the sky. And that was that. 5 minutes go by and suddenly I'm staring at the northern sky and a pill shaped object is coming down at a very hard 45 degree trajectory. And I record that and I say, what is that? Few nights go by and my friends, my neighbors are wondering, you know, what's going on? Few nights go by, we're in the backyard again and we're chatting and our backyard is fully open, no fence.
Okay.
And suddenly I get the energetic hit to move about 10 feet away from them. Clear sky, crisp October night. And I look straight up, coming over the townhouse was a black, silent triangle. About 200 feet. When I locked eyes on it, I had this joy and exhilaration come over me, something that I was remembering. What I distinctly remember is gray pads. I called the guys over, and my one neighbor, Matt, thought, is that a flock of geese? I said, focus, guys. We stood there for about 8 or 10 seconds, watched this object cruise above us and leave. So it was a profound experience. Those initial sightings kicked open the door to over now 1,000 encounters, over 500 recordings. But what I want to mention regarding this triangle, because, you know, some people ask me, you know, is it military? The experiences with this object have been so profound. The capability and technology is so advanced that it's had to break it up into different segments. So in May of the following year, Matt noticed lights dancing in a cloud. Minutes later, we're in the backyard. The triangle comes in holographic. And if you think of a triangle, cut it top to bottom. You have two pieces. Now cut it horizontally, four. It came in 300 feet, breaking apart and coming together, breaking apart and coming together. I was understanding what was going on. And then it vanished before our eyes. Matt's having, and James, a religious experience. They're like freaking out. And so we stood there for about 4 or 5 more minutes. I'm then facing the driveway again. The object comes in, now more 3D. And I'm like, look at this. And I called out, it's back. And Matt screams, BS. I said, turn around. So it has had to break up what it can do. But my understanding, it's consciousness based and it's essentially limitless in nature.
Wow. So that's three different types of craft that you just described. I mean, and there are so many different shapes. I don't know if you've seen on Facebook or anything, there's a picture that was supposedly taken March 23rd. So just a few days ago when we're recording this, of something similar. It looks like a hula hoop shape, like a laser, but you know, with AI, you never know if something is real nowadays.
That's true. It's so true.
Yeah, so I don't know if you've seen those photos or not, because I keep getting tagged in them, and people are like, what do you think? And I'm like, since I don't know the source, I don't know the person who took them, I don't know whether to trust it or not.
It's hard to tell. I like to go by consistency. So has there been a consistency to it? I recently did an episode for a show, and they said, well, usually we get one or two sightings, and I essentially have hundreds. But the other objects that I've experienced back here are like Merkabas, ascending energies. One that sort of hit me almost angelic. It went straight up and did a loop-de-loop. There's another object I captured December 2022. I call it the flying book because it looked like a book. And it was actually the wings were manifesting when you slow down the 7-second video. And it came within 15 feet of me. And I remember turning around and it was gone.
Okay. So like I see them all the time as well. And I do these UFO tours here in Hawaii, and most of them that we're observing are like pretty far away. And so we have had some that have been closer to us. So what do you think it is in your nature? Like, are you connected to these beings? Are you a starseed? Why are they coming to you so visibly, do you think?
That's a great question. So right, pretty much soon after the sightings began, I began to ask and go within who, why, you know. So I began to experience automatic writing, and they describe themselves as the collective. Sure. And I come to realize, especially with the triangle, you know, in my channeled writing, there's a deep connection between this object and myself. Sure. And what I've realized is operating through that dimension of inner stillness, that's cosmic consciousness. That's a beacon to them. So they realized, you know, that I wasn't going to get carried away with these sightings and lose myself. Because even when I'm observing, there's nothing going on in my mind. I'm simply the silent witness. So I'm not believing anything. And I tell people that they don't, the last thing they want to be is another distraction. You know, they say, what's the purpose if we showed up en masse when the majority of human beings still don't know who they are? So they've made it very clear. They're not our saviors because they see an enlightened master in all of us. Mm-hmm. So I got a fairly good understanding of who I am relative to them. And it's from one point of view, you know, from the human aspect, it's astounding. It's still, you know, if I could say, it blows my mind. And then, you know, from my spiritual nature, no, it makes perfect sense operating through stillness moment by moment.
Okay. Well, and your neighbors though, like they're getting to experience this too. So, I mean, not on that part, it's really probably nice to have that validation. Like, okay, I'm not the only one seeing this. They're seeing it too. And they're probably thinking that too. Like, okay, we're not crazy. We're not hallucinating. So for them, like, do they, from your perspective, do you feel like they know who they are and they're getting to see this because of that?
It's interesting. I gave them copies of my books soon when I moved in here. So I remember James especially saying he, you know, the person that he was, you know, before I moved here, he's changed. So they're essentially, they're pretty spiritual and open. And that's the key. It's that openness. Yeah. And the other key is the non-attachment, because people get frustrated. Oh, I go out there and I don't see anything. Your one's frustration, you know, they're not moved. These are enlightened beings. They're not moved by frustration. You have to sort of match their vibrational frequency. So that's the key.
Yeah, it is. And that's what I teach people too. You got to raise that vibration. And you know, sometimes there's something there that one person is seeing because maybe their third eye is opened more. and the other person is not seeing it at all because they just, the mind can't comprehend.
It's so very true. It's a personal experience. The interesting thing too is there's certain neighbors that the phenomena will wait that are gone inside, and then they start showing up. As soon as that door closes, spontaneous flash. Next thing you know, can you do it again? And it's doing it again. So I've realized, because people say, what about all your other neighbors? It's really, it's astounding that no one has really, but if you're not looking up, you're not really going to perceive it.
Right. That's very true, because, the way that I train people on the tours, and they're like, and people who live here on the island come on the tours, and I'm like, there's so much activity here all the time. Do you see stuff? And they're like, no, but I guess we don't really look up in the sky. And I'm like, well, you will now.
it's so true. They've just been out of sight, out of mind. That's all you can really say.
Yeah. So, okay. You made a comment just a moment ago, which reminds me of something that I did with one that was across the street from my house, where you're like, okay, do it again, or do something. And so do you talk to them and they respond to you regularly?
Yes. So it took me about 6 to 8 months to realize. So 3 months after the sightings began, this was January, thick cloud cover, winter, Canada, heaviness, right? I went to throw something in recycling, and a massive flash came through the sky like a hot knife through butter. And I was like, what was that? Mm-hmm. Immediately, within a week or so, I would go out there and say, can you power up? Or I'd experience a spontaneous flash. So my earliest recording is January 2022 of the triangle. And it's the triangle that is doing that. And it's the one, too, that photobombs a lot of my recordings. So I have at least 5 videos. I'm recording an object, I'm describing it, and then at the 20-second mark, triangle comes out of nowhere, totally cloaked, and then powers up. And then I say, my sense is that's the transforming triangle, and it powers up even brighter as I'm mentioning it. It's done it many times.
Okay. Well, so can I share my experience that I had?
Because I would love to hear it, yes.
So it was actually just over a year ago. It was March 7th, 2023. And I had been speaking about my book, Connection to the Cosmos, at our local bookstore. And it's about an hour drive back to my house from this bookstore. And it's night. And even though I'm driving and I'm safe, I'm always got my eyes out, because I'm like, the whole hour home, I'm just like, guys, I really want to see you tonight. Show me a sign that you're here with me. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always asking, right? And so I didn't see anything the whole way home down Quinque Highway, and it's really dark. And I finally get to my neighborhood about a block away from my house, and all of a sudden there's this really bright light above the tree line. And so I acknowledge it. I'm like, okay, I see you. Stay there. I'm going to go park my car at home. And so I park my car, and then I'm looking across the street, and it's still there above my neighbor's tree. And so first thing I had to do, though, because it looked like a very bright pulsing star. So first thing I had to do, because I am a scientist, by training, I had to get out my constellation app and make sure that it was not a star or a very bright planet, because sometimes Venus and Jupiter are very bright here, and even Sirius. And so there was nothing that was there. And so then I'm like, okay, I know you're a craft. Please do something for me that a craft can do that a star cannot do. And so what it did was it completely dimmed out where I couldn't see it anymore. And a few seconds later, it came back on full brightness. Ooh. And I was like, do it again. And it did it again. And it came back on. And then I'm like, do it again. So it did it 5 times for me, because I asked for it to do it.
And then I absolutely love that.
Yeah. And so I just, then I get out. I'm like, oh, I've got my phone. Because sometimes, like, I am so usually just like in the present moment with them that I'm not like trying to photo them or video them. Yeah. And so then I was like, oh, I've got my phone. Let me take pictures. Let me take video. And the video, what's interesting, because you mentioned the Merkaba. So the photo looked like a double donut kind of thing. Mm-hmm. The way that it was spinning and pulsing, I think that it actually was a Merkaba kind of craft, like spinning, rotating counterclockwise. And from what I understand, it's a Pleiadian craft.
What you're describing is almost to a T of the Merkabas. The first ones that came in here, April 6, 2023, my neighbor James had spotted the red one coming in. So I described it as a red triangle with extended wingtips, and it actually looks like a triangle. To the naked eye, though, it was changing color and shape multiple times a second. I didn't even realize, as I'm recording that, I'm getting photobombed by a blue Merkaba as well. So I recorded that. I think I got about 40 of those videos, but it's funny that you're mentioning, you know, the power-ups and stuff like that. The triangle, I'm going to say 90% of the time will respond. The times it doesn't, I burst out. I'm dying laughing because I'm like, it's just not happening. And you can't be attached to it.
Right.
Well, there have been times where it's coming in cloaked. And I said, well, I can't record you and share you. And I remember as soon as I said that, bang, powered up, wouldn't do it for me the rest of the night. Again, I'm just bursting into laughter. But yeah. The stationary objects, what they would do is, I sort of know what stars are where and what. The northern sky in particular, I'm going to say 2 years ago in winter, all of a sudden I would notice a very massive, bright, stationary star. So my intuition, instantly, I realize I'm being observed, and I would say out loud, you're not a star. And I'm recording it, and it would just go lights out. Caught maybe six of those recordings, but it's absolutely profound, especially what you're saying with the response. It just demonstrates there's no distance.
Right. Well, so what other, like, if you are having communication with some of these craft, like what kind of messages are you receiving?
So the messages that I've been receiving is that we need to remember as human beings who we are. And they talk about the shift in consciousness that's going on. I've been essentially tapping into my highest self, you know, since 2005 consciously. And it's the same message that we're heading to a shift in consciousness. And that shift in consciousness is the dimension of inner stillness. It's that oneness. And what they're saying too is, remembering who you are, you will then tune into their vibrational frequency. And that's when the sightings will happen. Because a lot of people will get caught up. I just want to see a sighting. I want to see a sighting. But yeah. if you're spinning at, let's say, 500 RPM, they're spinning at 20,000 RPM. It's not going to mesh. It's not really, there's no benefit to it, really. So they're saying, you know, remember who you are. It's not, you know, become enlightened tomorrow, but start doing some inner work and let things go and vibrate higher. It's always about letting go. We're already whole and complete. It's remembering that completeness and then letting go of what's no longer serving you. So that's what they're saying. And what they've reminded me is the potential that we have within us to, and we're really getting into some pretty wild stuff here, but through that dimension of inner stillness, all things become possible. So psychic abilities come online. But there's things like teleportation, bilocation, and much more. So that's what they've been reminding me telepathically and through my channeled writings with them.
Beautiful. So let's keep talking about, you know, the UFOs and the ETs, but I also do want to tap into you teaching people how to develop their psychic abilities.
Yeah.
So how do you work with people?
So the important thing is awareness is everything. So the first thing that people have to understand is, just like we are extensions of source energy and we want to actualize and become, our psychic abilities have a consciousness of their own. So most of the times when people feel stuck, they feel stuck energetically because their chakras are blocked on an energetic level. They're not allowing those chakras to express, especially, for example, the third eye, that seat of intuition and clarity. Most people think, you know, how do I open it? It's not that it needs to be opened, but you need to align with that 5D version of you that is already opened and operating. So we experience intuition throughout the day. We experience these energetic nudges. For the most part, we ignore them, and it's just human conditioning. And that's only because the ego is a louder voice and because of its proximity. So awareness is everything. And it's simply in becoming aware, you start making these shifts. And the awareness, this is how powerful we are. the moment you become aware of something or aware of a potential, that's what gives life to it. So just like, you know, for example, experiencing ego deaths allows that resurrection of the soul, becoming aware of that dimension of inner stillness. Now for someone makes it a potential to experience it directly, moment by moment, because that's what it is once you have an idea, that's a potential, that's a possibility, or being able to read energy, for example, it all has to do with being centered. So the key is awareness. The key is present moment awareness. And that's when you begin to vibrate higher. And that's when the mind begins to slow down. And that's when you allow those gifts to spontaneously express themselves. I used to arrest shoplifters in high school. And I used to do this without even thinking of it. I would sort of send out waves. I call it now spiritual sonar, to the front of the store. And about 99% of the time, I would know who'd come in and shoplift and I'd arrest them. And that's just being tuned into the environment. And not to go back to the ETs right away, but that also assists me in being able to read the energy, sort of know where they're going to be in the sky. It's just being in tune with the environment. So present moment awareness, foundational.
Okay. So you write about it, but do you actually work with clients to teach them how to do this or teach classes?
I absolutely do. I do one-on-ones. I do workshops through local areas like yoga studios, but I do a lot of one-on-ones with this. And it, believe it or not, it doesn't take much, a couple of sessions where you begin to really tune into and tap into these spiritual faculties because they're available to us all.
Yeah, well, and that's one thing that it's a common theme on the show. We all have these abilities. It's just a matter of, you know, trusting, practicing. It's like a muscle, you know, really opening that up. Okay, I have one little side question about the third eye, the pineal gland, because I know that out there in the spiritual world, and coming from your dental background, does fluoride shut down the pineal gland?
From a spiritual vantage point, absolutely not. So I used to give myself fluoride treatments. As a dental hygienist, I would give one to myself every 3 or 4 months. I haven't touched fluoride in over 15 years now, but what's meant for you? So if you came here to serve a purpose and your purpose and part of that is to activate that third eye, there is nothing that's going to stop that. Absolutely nothing. The power and the potential, I'm now using form or words to describe formlessness, which is absolutely unlimited. So having, for example, that belief, so if someone had that belief that that's going to prevent it from opening, that literally will shift one to experience of having that.
Right. And okay, beautiful point. And that's, what we believe, we create our reality. So yeah. Okay. And I didn't want to get into anything controversial like that, but I just, it was a curiosity. Especially coming from the dental background, and I'm fully on the same page with you on that.
Understandable. And just knowing that it really doesn't prevent anything, like why am I putting this chemical in me? And especially like after that shift. So, but yeah, that nothing stops it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so you've got all these books, so your inner healer. Tell me about that book that's going to be coming out.
Ooh, I would love to. I've been wanting to write this one for several years. And the inspiration for this was when I spontaneously awakened and I went to my family doctor who I adored. He was a great physician. He's since passed away. I remember saying to him, "Doc, I'm no longer suffering from the anxiety or the depression." And I remember him being really elated for me and just muttering under his breath, "Physician, heal thyself." So I was going to title it something similar to that, but it ended up being Your Inner Healer. But what that is about tuning into consciously the subtle body, because the subtle body is the infinite wisdom. We don't have to think about breathing or our heartbeat. That is the inner healer. So the subtle body is the inner healer and it communicates with us. So it's powered by the soul, but it is what merges or marries our 3D reality and our spiritual reality. So when the chakras are operating fully, you know, and fully open and activated, we're now operating through an incredibly high vibrating energy. We are more spirit than anything else. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a perfect example. I remember almost immediately after the shift in consciousness, rotating my shoulders and saying to my brother-in-law, I feel like a rag doll because there's nothing there. It's just energy. So the inner healer is about tuning into the dimension of inner stillness, realizing, you know, the power of our thoughts and words and how to clear and, for example, process and digest and let go of anger, and how to really essentially anything and everything is possible. I give a description, for example. So at the moment of awakening, so if we think of the electron, proton, neutron, the neutron is stillness, let's say neutral. And that's the center. And then you have the proton, the positive or conscious self, the you and me that are aware of our local environment. But then you have the electron. So we'll call that ego, negatively charged. At the moment of your awakening, as you shift towards your inner being, because your vibrational frequency is so high, the ego is now cast out. And because it's cast out, it now orbits. So you're no longer identifying with it. It now offers contrast to your light and a reminder to reawaken moment by moment. Awakening is not just a one-time event. It's that ego death. So I think there's around 80 something thousand seconds in a day. A master dies about half that time. You let a breath in, a breath out. There's another ego death. So it's operating through that narrowness of the present moment, allowing things to die, because all of this, our vibrational frequency, it's sort of like the elephant in the room. It has so much to do with our health. Because if we're operating through awareness and why we operate the way we do, we can then take inner and outer action to have that manifest as extraordinary health. I should also add that, for example, inner stillness, operating through inner stillness, that's the secret to youthfulness. Because I'm in my fifth decade, and people say, what are you talking about?
Me too.
You don't look it. So when you're operating, thank you. So when you're operating through spirit, you know, you have the vitality coming through you. So that's essentially what the book is about: healing and the potential for spontaneous healing, and just living through spirit rather than mainly the egoic thinking mind, because that's the shift that's going on right now.
Really beautiful work. Well, for people who are like, okay, what's an ego death? Because they're, you know, the audience is a whole range of people. Tell people what an ego death is from your perspective.
I would absolutely love to. So even starting with the word death needs to be looked at with a greater understanding. Death is simply letting go. It's non-attachment. There's the physical death. So when one leaves the body, you have that letting go. But, you know, in terms of mastery, is letting things die. So for example, most people were conditioned to, number one, operate from the outside in. So we allow circumstances, we allow the outer world to dictate our emotional response. Mm. When you operate from the inside out, you're now observing the outer world rather than reacting. That's incredibly powerful. And when you're doing that, you are now impacting your environment. So the art of non-attachment, of letting things go, practicing forgiveness when necessary, that's an ego death. You're allowing something, an energy attachment, to die because you're no longer feeding it with your vital energy. That's what the ego does, essentially. It bottlenecks that universal or conscious or cosmic consciousness that's always flowing to us and through us, unrestricted, unconditionally, but it's reaction that contracts and that stifles and keeps a lot of us stuck. So letting things go is essentially an ego death. There is that moment, though, where one surrenders completely and you have that third eye activation. That signals, and I'll be one to testify, death has no sting, because I popped out, I left, I experienced that ego death, and I came back. And it was literally just a pop. It was absolutely painless.
Okay. Really, really great explanation. Thank you.
Happy to give it.
So back to the craft real quick, because if you've got all these photos and videos, do you have a website where you post them all, or are they just like on your devices, or?
I don't have them on my website, but they're all on social media. I've had three go viral on TikTok. So they're on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. YouTube as well.
Okay. Well, so, and where, how do people find you on your socials?
It's Giulio Consiglio. That's the name I use for all of them.
Make sure you put the I-U.
You're the best, Lisa. Thank you.
Yeah, different spelling than I've ever seen.
Really different, yeah.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I used to bug my dad about that when I was a kid. How come it's not spelled the traditional Italian way? Not kidding. So I've accepted it.
Okay. Well,
I let that part of the eagle die.
Yeah, right. Well, so in our last bit of time here, what else would you like to share about the work that you do or your books or anything?
Actually, what I would say is there's a lot of turmoil going on, especially in the outer world. It's important to be centered and to not fear more than anything.
Yes,
what's happening in the outer world is reminding us to come back to the safety, certainty, and peace of inner stillness of the present moment. So New Earth is a state of mind. It's not a destination. It's here and now. When I spontaneously transcended thought in 2005, I experienced New Earth. It's that inner stillness, which is oneness. So looking at the outer world through the clarity of silence, you're looking at it through the eyes of Source. So inner stillness is available and New Earth is available to us here and now. That's the doorway. So I just want to remind everyone, fear not. Remember who you are and remember the power of your thoughts, words, your vibrational frequency, and your intentions. Because when you do that without attachment, with faith and trust, and I'll be the first one to say those have to be cultivated, faith and trust, all things are possible.
Beautiful. Well, and that goes right along with what my ETs always want to share as well. So really, we all have the individual ability to create our environment and our reality around us. And yeah, stay out of the fear.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, so what are your websites? How do people work with you and get in touch with you?
Sure. So my website is julioconsiglio.com. And if anyone's available, I'm available for one-on-one teachings, either over the phone or through Skype. And my socials, like I said, are julioconsiglio.com. So if anyone has questions regarding my teachings, feel free to send me an email. But there's links to whatever what one is looking for, whether it's psychic abilities development. I have one for divine masculine for healing, mastery, third eye. There's really no limits. If it has to do with personal transformation, I've pretty much run the gamut and have healed myself on pretty much every level in that sense.
Beautiful. Well, it's been a pleasure to have you on, and I want to see your videos. I always love seeing real, like, people that I know and trust,
yeah,
their videos and photos. And you're doing amazing work. And for your books, because you do live in Canada, are your books available on Amazon for our, you know, international people?
My books are available through Amazon, and Open Your Third Eye, Finding Your Calm, those are through Llewellyn, which is American-based publisher. So those are in a lot of bookstores as well. Yeah.
Okay, excellent. Well, thank you so much for being on. And for those of you listening or watching, thank you for your time as always. And I'll see you next time on Connection to the Cosmos.
Aloha. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lisa.